Well, good morning. I am Pastor Wiley Jenkins. I'm the associate pastor here at Emmanuel Baptist Church, and I hope you're having a great day. I don't know if you're watching this in the evening or the morning or when, but just want to welcome you. I have a message to share with you this morning, and I just want to pray and jump into the message. You know, Father, you know exactly what this time means, what it is, what it's doing. God, I truly believe that through every dark time, through every war, through every disease, through every famine, through every natural disaster, through every plague, you're doing something. And so often, God, we are trapped and we see only the bad. And I just pray today, God, that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you would just wake us up to be able to see what you are doing. Just a few things about what you're doing in this time. May this message, God, encourage us, awaken our soul, and may it convict us, God. And so I just pray this morning that you would be with us by the power of the Holy Spirit. You would speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Title of the sermon I'm going to be sharing with you this morning is called Unwrapping the Gifts of This Present Crisis. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 6, there's a story. I love the story. Elisha, not Elijah. Elijah was the first, and Elisha was the second prophet that came. Elisha has been telling on the king of Aram. And so now it's causing him to say, who is the one? What's going on? And what I mean by telling is God keeps telling Elisha, tell the king of Samaria, that is the Israelite king, to avoid him here and avoid him there, because God is literally telling Elisha what's happening. And in response, the king that is angry because his plans keep getting ruined by the prophet Elisha, he sends his army to kill Elisha. And what happens is they wake up in the morning and they're surrounded by horses and they're surrounded by chariots. This happens in 2 Kings chapter 6. It's a beautiful story. You should read the whole thing. But in verse 16, Elisha's servant sees all these things and he's very afraid. He sees the horses, the soldiers, and the chariots. And Elisha, the prophet, responds to his servant and he says this, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. The Bible is a book filled with stories of difficult circumstances. And one of the things this story illustrates so well, and one of the things I think we can fall into, is we fall into this seeing the problem, sort of like the servant. He saw the chariots, he saw the horses, he saw all these things. And we see COVID-19, we see a tsunami, we see earthquakes, we see all these things going on in the world, and we so quickly gravitate to see the thing and we don't see God in the thing. And that is what Elijah said. He said, open up his eyes so that he can see. And that is my prayer for you today, that as I speak about these things, they're not complicated things, but as I speak about them, that God would open your eyes and that you would see, like a Christmas tree, there are presents under her, like a birthday party. And in the worst, ugliest storm, there's always something coming behind it that God is doing with it. And so there are four things I think we can see clearly God is doing, and God is, let's just use this word, revealing. It's almost as if inside the box you don't know what it's coming. And as you open it, you get revealed certain things. And those four things would be this. I pray that God would open up your eyes, my eyes, to see humanity's total weakness and need for God. This disease is, if it's revealing anything, it's that we are absolutely weak and needy of God. Number two, that the church desperately needs to get back to the Bible. I believe this crisis is revealing that. Number three, that God is angry at sin. That's not a very popular thing to talk about, but if there's anything these kind of plagues reveal, it's that God is angry at sin. And number four, the gospel is the only hope for any of us. So I think those four things, we're going to just unpack them one by one and just think about how they're gifts from God. First, humanity's total weakness and need for God. What if I would have told you 6 months ago that your company was going to lay you off, or that you were going to be stuck at home for a month, or that some loved one close to you would catch a disease and get sick? All of those things, many times we think are beyond us. As of March the 23rd, I read a news article that said, as of March the 23rd, the world is projecting it's already lost 20 trillion euros through the effects of COVID-19. That's an incredibly big number. It's so big, I can't wrap my mind around it. And it's only honestly going to get worse. And that's the economic side of things. You know, people in Spain here, they've paid into the healthcare system their whole entire life. And for many people, it seems like almost they go to get help and there's no help available. And it's extremely sad. You look at the countries like the United States, where I come from, you know, the political parties literally cannot join forces, not even in the face of a disaster, to stop fighting politically. You look at all of the things that have happened here in Spain, whether it be the incredible effort on the part of the doctors and the nurses, the clapping that people are doing from their windows, or in Italy where they're singing from their windows, the way the police have come out and are trying to entertain children by singing. There have been many incredible efforts on the part of people to help other people. And I don't want to minimize any of those things. But at the same moment, it's revealed to us, the sickness has revealed to us, that we're absolutely incapable. We can't sustain an economy. We can't sustain our own healthcare. One plague is literally capable of almost wiping out the economy of the world. And this is incredible, because God is opening up the box and he's showing you and he's showing me, guys, we're not supermen. We're broken, fallen people. You know, one of the things I read recently was that the Spanish government detected an attack on the online medical records and healthcare in Spain. What happened was someone, probably they think it's from Eastern Europe, was attempting to get into the system, lock it up so that people couldn't use it, and hold it for ransom. Can you imagine how absolutely depraved a person would have to be in this time to want to shut down the healthcare system online? And look at the people in the grocery stores that fight with each other in the world. You can see it all over the place, or different things that are going on. This virus is revealing to us that our hope was in our money, that we believed our scientists could fix anything, that we believed nothing was going to shake our economies and nothing was going to slow us down. And we're just not supermen. And I am so thankful to God. Like Elijah prayed, may he open your eyes up for you to really see how fragile you are and how absolutely needy we are of God in a desperate way. If he does not protect us, one disease comes in and almost wipes out a ton of the things we hold dearest. You know, Habakkuk the prophet, he says this, and it's a verse that I think about often in times like this, but it says, look among the nations and see and wonder. God is speaking. He says, look, Habakkuk, look in the nations and see and wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if I told you. And I think that's what we've got to realize. God is doing something even in our days. that if we were to be told, we wouldn't have believed that this was going to happen. But we're so desperately needy of him. The second thing that's revealed to us very clearly in this time is that the church desperately needs to get back to the Bible. The church desperately needs to get back to the Bible. You know, I watched on the news where recently a famous televangelist pastor is selling a cure for $125. And it's some cure he's trying to make up, saying that if you take it, it will wipe out the COVID-19. And he was actually got in trouble with the United States government for doing that. And I just think how despicable, how absolutely despicable during this time to take advantage of people. But this is what you're going to see spiritually. The box, the gift that's coming off that I want you to see, people of IBC, is you cannot trust everyone that claims to be a pastor, everyone that claims to pray for you, everyone that claims that their words come from God. Listen, wake up and realize there are bad people. There are wolves in sheep clothing. And this virus is showing me more than ever that as a church, we cannot stray from the Bible. Listen, we cannot get away from the clear words of God. The heart of humanity is twisted, and if God does not give us a book, that you and I can't change what it's saying, that the words are not able to be changed, that our hearts will turn away from God. We'll invent our own versions of God that we like better than the real God. That's who we are. You know, very well-meaning person recently sent me a quote from a book by a lady named Sylvia Brown. And in this quote, she's proclaiming or saying that there will be a virus in 2020. Now, I think she wrote this book 20 years ago or something. I mean, it's a long time ago. But she's claiming that in 2020, there'll be a pneumonia-like virus. It's going to be devastating on the world. And she makes these claims. And this lady that passed me this book and the prophecy, she means well. She's trying to encourage me in this time. But what she doesn't know is that Sylvia Brown was a psychic, that she speaks to the dead. She's a medium, and that she founded a cult. Not only that, I'm getting passed around quotes from a book by a guy named Dean Koontz. And this guy, Dean Koontz, he predicts in 1981 in the book that there will be a virus called the Wuhan 400, because it's named by Wuhan, China, because that's where it was developed in a laboratory. And it's going to kill tons of people. And I've been sent this book, and it's also intended to tell me that somehow he's prophesying. Listen, it's a fiction book. Now, Dean Koontz is a fiction writer. He spent all kinds of time writing lots of books, including pornographic fiction. Listen to me, my brothers and sisters. Can I please ask you to do something for me? Do not pass videos or books. I don't want to receive things that come from psychics who speak to the dead and form heretical churches. I don't want to read fiction. I don't need any of those things to give me confidence that God knew this was going to happen or that God is moving. We need to be people of one book, and that is the Bible. And I challenge you in this time. I want to give you three practical things I'm asking you to do for me in this time, brothers and sisters, Christians, as I think about the church getting back to the Bible. Number one is this. Please do not pass around those things. If you want to know about a video or a pastor or a book, please send something to me. My email address is wileyjenkins@ibcmadrid.com. wileyjenkins@ibcmadrid.com. I will do the research. I'll help you before you spread these things around. The second thing I want to ask you to do for me is take a view of the situation of prayer. Listen, do not take a false view of prayer in this time. You know, when I look around, I see people who pray and speak and confess and declare, and they talk about how God is always going to do this, or he's always going to do that, or if you just pray Psalm 91, you're going to be skipped over, or I'm believing that this plague will not touch my house, and all of these prayer things. Listen, 99% of everything I just said is totally unbiblical ways to pray. It's just not the way the Bible speaks of faith. It's not the way God speaks of prayer. Listen to me. We need to be able to pray fervently, passionately. We need to be able to consistent and be persistent and pray and ask God to protect our neighbors and our friends. Ask Him to heal. Ask Him to be with the government. Ask Him to be with doctors and nurses. We need to cry out to Him, but hear me, He needs to be able to tell us no. And if you're a person spreading around these things on WhatsApp or spreading around prayers for people, telling them that if they'll do this or that, that God is just going to take care of them, that He's just going to heal them, you're not helping people by telling things that are untrue to them. So please don't do that in this time. It reminds me more of the witchcraft I saw amongst the Amazon indigenous people than actual dependence on God. Do you know the difference between almost all false religions and Christianity? False religions want to control the spirits and God. That's what the Amazon indigenous did. They look to control the spirits. And some of you, that's what you want to do with God. You want to come up with the formula prayer. And that's just not how it works. He is sovereign. He makes decisions on what will happen. You're not the God of the universe. And if He decides that we will pass through tribulation, listen, what Jesus promised you on this earth is not healing. It's not prosperity, and it's not a perfect world to live in. What Jesus said is, in this world, you will have tribulations, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So you hear me, the message we spread to someone is not that God can be controlled through the things we say, but it's that He can be trusted. Do you trust Him enough to let Him tell you no? The Apostle Paul said he had a thorn in the flesh, and he pleaded with the Lord to take it away from him, but he said no. Can God tell you no? And believe, do you have the faith to believe that when He says no, He has a better plan than yours? So that's the second thing. The first thing is, don't spread information. The second is, pray, but understand that God can tell you no. And the third is this: do not be a person with a false view of faith. I'm concerned about my brothers and sisters because they believe that faith is somehow opposed to wisdom. You know, I look at a person, and I'm not going to mention, from recently, that just said, you know, to see a Christian with a mask on their face just means that they don't have faith. Really? That's absolutely ridiculous. You know, in the Bible, there's an entire book called Proverbs. And in this book, there isn't laws and there isn't things like faith. What there are is an entire other category. I mean, here's what I mean. There's not law and there's not promises. There are proverbs. Laws are easy. You either do them or you don't. Promises are easy. You either believe them or you don't. But wisdom is another category. Wisdom tells us how to act when it's a difficult decision. And let me tell you something. God has not promised you that if you will just in your mind invent that you have faith and walk around without a mask, you're not going to get sick. That is not faith. That is the lack of wisdom. God very clearly gives us, and He says, the wise man sees destruction coming and goes away. Listen. Listen to the police. Listen to the government. They are sent by God to be our authorities. Don't break the rules and call it faith. That's not faith. I could go on and on about this, but I just say, be people of wisdom. Spread a view of Christianity that doesn't bring embarrassment on Jesus. Number three is that God, it's revealing another present, which is God is angry at sin. God is angry at sin. You say, Wally, how in the world is that a present? Well, just listen. Listen to what I have to say. If you're an unbeliever and you're watching this, listen to the Word of God. Because we're so tempted to get angry with God when the world doesn't go the way we want to. But actually, that's not how it works. Romans chapter 1, verses 18 to 23 say this: For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it known to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world in the things that have been made, so that they are without excuse. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God nor give thanks to him, but became futile in their thinking. Their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images. Listen to the beginning. For the wrath of God is revealed. It is being opened and shown. You know, people think when the world is going the way they want it to, that somehow God is not, he's not upset. He's sitting up in some rocking chair up in the sky wanting to make people's worlds better. What they don't understand is we as a human race have denied God. We've suppressed him. We look at a universe so incredibly organized that if percentages of oxygen or carbon or gravity were off, the entire universe would self-destruct. We look at DNA inside the human body and the incredible amount of information that's in that. And somehow looking at a universe in an incredibly complicated self-replicating thing like DNA, and we say, there's no God. That's all accidental. And then when the bad thing comes on us, somehow we don't associate that with a God saying, why are you ignoring me? Why are you not listening? And let me tell you something. The anger of God is revealed in tsunamis and earthquakes and diseases like COVID-19. But what it's doing is not giving. It's not just causing us pain and harm. You don't get it. It is trying to wake us up. COVID-19 is a shadow. The reality is coming when you die. When you die, you will meet the real pain and the real plague and the real anger. What you're feeling right now here on earth is nothing compared to the anger of God that waits for people. And I'm just warning you, this disease should wake you up to realize, to know God is angry at sin. We exchange him for nothing. And as human beings, we've got to see that is a gift. That is a gift. And it's showing you what's going to happen. It's showing you the pain that's coming. And let me tell you something. You think being quarantined here for a month or two on earth is bad? You will be quarantined from everything that's good, because the anger of God will fall full power on you. You're given an opportunity here on earth to change. What are you going to do? Are you going to turn to Jesus or not? The fourth thing that's revealed in this time, and this is the thing I'm most excited about, is that the gospel is the only true security and hope for us. It's the only hope for any of us. I want to read to you a little passage out of the book of Revelation. And it says this, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Then I saw a great white throne and him who was seated on it. From his presence, earth and sky fled away. No place was found for them. And I saw the dead, great and small, standing before the throne. And books were opened. Then another book was opened, which was the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead who were in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one of them according to what they had done. Then death and Hades were thrown in the lake of fire. This is the second death. The lake of fire. And anyone's name who was not found written in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. This is a passage about judgment day. And it begins with a very figurative statement. I saw a great white throne, and heaven and earth fled from the presence of the one on it. Now, what it means, it speaks very figuratively in the book of Revelation. And what it means is even heaven and earth were scared to stand in front of that throne. What about you? What are you going to do, huh? You think you're safe? You will stand before that throne that even heaven and earth flee from. And all these books are open, every word, every thought, every deed, every action. And listen to me, God's anger against sin, as we just spoke in the point before, it's coming, and it's going to come justly. He's never going to punish a person for anything they didn't do, think, or act. You know, it's always just. What you don't realize is all of these thoughts, all of these actions, all of the pain you cause other people, all of the times you exchange God, all of the times you ignore Him, you're going to see how fully bad you were. When those books are open, and I don't think there's going to be one or two about our life. I think there, I don't know, thousands. Just realizing how often we don't do what God wants us to do and how often we do the things He says not to do. But it says something else, that there's a book of life. It doesn't say the book of the good people and the book of the bad people. It talks about a book of life. And it said, if your name was not written in there, you were thrown in the lake of fire. What Revelation is getting at is something the whole Bible teaches, which is this: you're not saved by how good you are. You're not going to stand on judgment day and be able to say your good deeds outweighed your bad ones. That's just because you define good and bad. You think somehow you're a good person, but you don't realize when God, the perfect standard, defines good, everyone falls so short of that. There's no possible way to be saved. You know, recently I heard a story of a pastor. It illustrates very well God's reaction to our need. This pastor tells about how he was saved radically as a young man. Not too long after that, he met a woman. He fell in love and he wanted to get married. They had dated for a while. He proposed to her. But as he proposed to her, he said, "I want you to understand something. I live such a sinful life," he said. "I need to go to the doctor and I want to be tested to make sure that I don't have any sexually transmitted diseases. I don't want to give them to you." And he said, "I know a person like you would have a hard time. Would have a hard time accepting a person like me." Now, you and I think about saying something like that. He said it on his wedding day. Before the bride came in, he told the whole congregation. He said, "I said these things to my wife as I proposed. And you know what she replied to me? I've come to love you just the way you are. And I'll walk with you down this path. I will not abandon you." And he said, "You know what my wife did that was so beautiful?" She said, "She illustrated God's love for me. You see, the disease I had was physical, but the disease we all have is a spiritual one. It is consuming us. We're empty. We're dying. We're depressed. We're suicidal. We don't have value. We are hard-hearted. We have no fear of death. It's a disease," he said. "But if you would just look to Christ and you would just say to Him, 'Please take me with my disease. Would you take me?' Christ will come to you. He'll forgive you. And on judgment day, your name will be written in the book of life, not because of the good you did, but because of the good Jesus did. And He took your sins and He took my sins. And we will stand with Him, not against Him." Listen to me, loved one, come to Jesus. COVID-19 is revealing anything. It's that you need Him. He's the only security. Banks can't help you. Hospitals may not be there for you when you need them. But He has made a new world where there is no sickness and there is no problems and there is no disease. And there's, more importantly, no sin. You're going to be a perfectly loving person, but that is only if you place your faith in Jesus. If you turn down a path and you put your coin into the slot machine and you pull down and say, "I'm just going to gamble with my eternity." Well, you will face God on judgment day and you will be punished for your sins. There's only two options. Either Christ gets punished for him or you do. But it's only by placing your faith in Jesus and crying out to him for help. So I just challenge you, what will you do? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the message that you are sending us. Pray like Elijah's servant that you would open our eyes to see all that you're doing in this time. God, we thank you that we see how weak we are. We thank you that we see how desperately the church needs to hang on to the Bible. God, we see your anger against sin. And Lord, we feel your comfort in the gospel. And God, I pray for those that are sick and needy, the hospitals, the doctors. I pray for the government of Spain. I pray like Lazarus, you wept, you cried for the death of Lazarus. I pray that those who have lost loved ones would feel your tears. You do not take joy in the death of people. But at the same time, you are just and you will punish. God, I pray for those that are listening that they would turn to you in this time. I pray for those that are hard-hearted that you would break them down, Lord. Do not let them beat you with a hard heart. Give us your grace today, Lord. Let us go from this place different than we came, in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us in this home worship experience. And I pray that God's word has been a blessing to you today. May he remind each one of us that he's doing something, even in the most difficult circumstances. Bye for now.